This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O humanity, duriba mathalun fastami'u lah. An example has been struck, so listen to it carefully. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Those that you call out to instead of Allah, the false gods, the idols and otherwise, لَن يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ They will never create a single fly, even if they all collaborated on it. وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْهِ And if the fly were to steal something from them, they would never be able to retrieve it from the fly. ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ How weak is the seeker, someone seeking to create a fly. And how weak is what is being sought, the fly. You know, some of the scholars said this was a reference to the fact that these idols that you worship and you slaughter at the altar, the animals, and spill the blood there, flies are landing. Even the fly that lands on your idol, you have no control over and you can't create. This is the idea. And subhanAllah, you think also of the example of the cobwebs, these measly threads, they're so weak, all they can catch is the fly. An insect the size of the fly, but you can't even create that. The weakest of the weak. And you know, when he says you will not create a fly, think about that. Creation is only within the realm of Allah. You know, when you want to like construct a masjid or... what do humans do when they want to create something? This is not just about the sophistication of the fly. When humans want to create something, you go get materials and you put them together and you design something. You build, really. With materials Allah already created. But no matter how small, when it comes to creation, you can't pull it off. Because Allah creates out of nothing. Not just the most sophisticated, but out of nothing. You know, like Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks in the Quran about the heavens and the earth, كَانَتَا رَتْقًا They were one solid piece. فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا We ripped them apart. The other ayat say, وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ And we continue to expand. It was this big. And I continue out of nothing. Why is it getting bigger? Allah continues to expand the universe. Or think about the tree. That tree was what? Somehow that enormous tree came out of a seed. More and more and more comes out of a seed to become a tree. How does that work? Or the human being. You think of the egg or the sperm or whatnot. Out of that came a walking, talking, debating, believing, disbelieving, investing... A human being? So this is the meaning of creation, to bring out of nothingness. And it continues to expand and grow and develop. Even the fly, though, you will not be able to get it there. And if the fly were to steal anything from you, you wouldn't be able to retrieve it. You know, sometimes they say they put not just the blood, but they put perfume on these idols. That fly lands and some perfume gets on its leg and it flies away, you're stuck. Can't get the perfume back. How pathetic and how pitiful. So this is a mathal regarding the might of Allah. There is another mathal, just because I'm going to have to start consolidating now. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا And Allah strikes an example, same theme about Allah's might and wisdom and power and oneness. رَجُلَيْن The example of two men. أَحَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمُ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ One of them is mute. He doesn't have the ability to speak. لا يقدر على شيء and he's incompetent. He's not able to actually do anything at all. وهو كل على مولاه and he is utterly dependent, reliant on his master. Consider a slave that is utterly useless. A human slave to slave, human to human, incompetent, unable to do anything. أينما يوجهه لا يأتي بخير and the fourth quality is every time you turn him in a certain direction, he only brings back problems. He doesn't go benefit you, he doesn't harvest for you, he doesn't speak on you, he can't do anything. That's the example of one. What example is that? That's the idol. The idol that you worship, O pagan, you carved it out and you carry it around and you wash it off. Like the story of Amr ibn al-Jamuh, radiallahu anhu. You know Amr ibn al-Jamuh before he became Muslim, His kids became Muslim before him, his three kids and his wife. But they didn't tell him. And so every morning they take his idol, Manaf, that was the name of the idol, and they throw him in a pile of poop, basically. That's what they would do. And he would say, oh, my idol, why'd they do that? And he'll wash off his idol and he put him back, right? And then the next morning he finds him again in the pile of... And then he brings up... Then the third night says, listen. And he puts a sword around his neck and tells him, anyone who messes with you, tear him apart. The next morning he finds the idol with the sword in a pile of... And so he finally... They help bring their dad to his senses. Yes? Utterly incompetent. And then the second one is what? Two men. That's one of them. هل يستوي, is he equal? Him, هو ومن يأمر بالعدل وهو على صراط مستقيم. Him, that useless slave, mute, incompetent, a liability, and the one that enjoins others to be just and fair and is themselves living upon the right path, on a principled code. Compare this one with a free man who's not just a free man, not just he's useful to his own for his own self, but he commits others. He compels others to be just and fair and to live by principles. That's the example of the idols, right? And the other example is what? Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? According to most scholars, say Allah is the one. He's the one communicating with you. He is the one giving you purpose to live for and principles to live by. And you know, subhanAllah, I was reflecting on this. It's not just about idols and statues of olden times. People today, countless millions of people believe there's some sort of God out there, but he's like separate from us. He doesn't talk to us. This is the idea of a deist. There's a deity, but just that he doesn't, that's not a God. A God that is mute is not a God. A God that leaves you hanging like that is not a God. The God has to be speaking, communicating, guiding. This is actually, by the way, one of the number one reasons why people become Muslim today. Because of the guidance, specific guidance, traceable to God, that is communicated in Islam. The third and last one, that was 6 minutes? I think that was 6 minutes. In Surah Az-Zumar, the third and final one, so I can close out this theme, though it is the most obviously recurring theme in the Quran, Allah says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا, and Allah strikes an example. This is a third example, different part, different surah. رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ, the example of a man that is co-owned or collectively owned by disputing parties. Imagine like you have a whole bunch of bosses that all have equal right over you. Or a slave that is sort of owned by a whole bunch of different entities, and they're all disputing. Every time he wants to make a move, someone else is telling him something else. That's one example. وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ, and a man that belongs solely to one master. هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا, can they ever be equivalent, these two examples? الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, praise be to Allah, people don't know. Most people don't know the blessing of having only one God, of knowing that there is only one, so that you're not torn apart between all of these. You know, subhanAllah, the universe enjoys the harmony that it does because there is only one God, right? لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. Allah said if there were multiple gods, the universe would be in ruins, wouldn't it? One of them wants the sun to come up from this way. One of them wants the sun to come. Likewise, we as human beings are in ruins if we submit to multiple gods. Yes? You know, one of the reasons sort of the powers of the world can't stand Muslims is because Islam creates such a resistance to, you know, the chains that are set up in this day age for humanity. We call them the invisible chains of corporate greed, right? They tell you about this wine. And this vacation, and then there's the zina industry, and there's the drug industry, big money. You know, I read the liquor industry is a $285 billion industry. Do you know how much money is spent on cancer research in this country? All the hospitals and all the grants and all the universe, $5 billion. Look at the difference. We've got to have alcohol, but like cancer, if we have some scraps left over, we'll put it towards cancer research, right? And so the Muslims are the ones that are sort of so resistant to this. Yes? And then they have these marketing machineries that'll tell you your dream home and your dream vacation and your dream thrill. It's actually not your dream, by the way. This is the dream of the greedy devil that is being force-fed to you. And so Allah is telling you, most people don't realize the blessing of being liberated from all of this, not having to answer to any of this. You remember that parable, and I'll close here, that I alluded to two nights ago, the example of the one that has multiple gods, right? Is like the example of one that falls from the sky. It says, فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرِ, and the birds snatch him from every direction. أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ, or the wind removes him to a very remote place. What is that referring to? Ibn al-Qayyim says, these devils are those birds. They're fighting over you, and you're going to be the casualty here. He says, and your desires, which they manipulate, these are the winds that carry you off to faraway places. And of course, the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal, we already spoke about, His great book. Alhamdulillah for the blessing of Islam, and alhamdulillah for Allah being our God and not leaving us in the dark. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.